Welcome to the Astrology University podcast, helping you find insight, inspiration, and meaning through the study of astrology. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the Cosmic Eye, the Astrology University podcast, in which we will look at the month ahead and the challenges and opportunities that are coming. This is the podcast for the Aries season. I am Alejo Lopez, your host, and today with me is Kira Sutherland. Kira needs no introduction, but in case you don't know her, she's an Australian naturopath and sport nutritionist with more than 25 years in clinical practice, more than 30 years now that you mentioned.
30, yes.
In clinical practice. And she's also a medical astrologer. Hi, Kira.
Oh, hi, Alejo. How are you? I better change that, right? On my bio, it's like 29 years now. I've had my Saturn return as a practitioner.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Very powerful. I only just realized that now that I said that. But yeah. Maybe I'm having it now.
Yeah. So before we move into Aries season itself, I would like to mention to all of the listeners, if you like the podcast, please, the best thing you can do is to support us by sharing it with friends, people who might be interested in it. And also, if you have any feedback or any comments to share, any thoughts, reflections, the email is help@astrologyuniversity.com. Great. So, Kira. We start a new cycle of the zodiac with the sun going into Aries.
Oh, yes.
The first thing I think of is the idea of spring and the idea of the trees blossoming out, like these little green branches that you start seeing coming up of the trees. Mm. And then I also have this image. The first time I studied astrology, I studied from a very non-rational way. So we were doing like guided meditations. And we did this guided meditation where there was like this fireball emerging from the sea. And then it started running and running.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. My original astrology teacher did a lot of guided meditation for each sign as well.
Do you remember the one for Aries?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. I remember all the watery ones, probably because it felt really, you know, I got more lost in the water ones. The fire ones probably just felt great. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's more than 30 years ago, Alejo. So I can't remember.
It's okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I love the idea. I mean, spring, I'm born in spring. So, you know, we all have that affinity for whatever. I think we have a huge affinity for what season we're born in. I think there's a real coming back to yourself in that season. And we, our bodies often feel really good, especially once you hit your solar return for the year. You know, in medical astrology, you're not actually, one of the weakest times of the year is the month before your birthday. And then once you hit your birthday, you go into a great vibration. So yeah, it's interesting to look at seasonally as well, which season you work with the best.
Interesting. Yeah, because the month before your birthday, the sun is in your 12th house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
I'm very good at catching viruses or needing to be home for a couple of weeks right before my birthday. Yeah. Do you do that?
Not to be honest, not. But no. My birthday is, no, it's in 2 months. Yeah. I don't know. I will pay
it's
attention.
Also in spring. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I'm a bit further than that, than in 4 weeks, but yeah.
So being born, but you were born so in North America, in the Northern Hemisphere, I mean, and then you moved to Australia. So do you still feel this attunement to spring, or do you this kind of link to spring? Yes.
Yeah, it's weird moving hemispheres. I don't actually think it's incredibly healthy for us. There's questions of, are you healthier living where you were born? I mean, astrologically, we would all look at, you know, our astrocartography. But there's some ideas that your body is attuned to the atmosphere and the weather patterns of where you were born. And so moving yourself to somewhere quite different is actually not great for your health. It's an interesting thought.
It's interesting because for me it's the opposite than you. I was born in South America and then I moved to the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you feel healthier or less healthy?
To be honest, I feel healthier. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Australia's home. I've been here for my whole adult life, really, and I absolutely love it. But I, spring and airy season to me still is that northern hemisphere. I attune more to northern hemisphere seasons than I do southern, even though I live in the southern hemisphere. So yeah,
Nice.
Living some weird dichotomy. And it's not that I'm not here, like I'm absolutely present in Sydney. It is my home, but yeah, the seasons feel easier in the northern hemisphere for me. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. So what are your ideas of Aries? Like, what are the images or the
keywords
that you think of?
Yeah, it's that bursting forth. It's that, you know, we talk about the ram running head first, but it's like that popping of the season where, yeah, all the trees and the plants pop and you have the birth of so many little animals. And it's just, yeah, it's a rebirth to me, really. That's the symbolism. It's that vibrancy that's been dormant and slowly germinating actually gets above that surface, and we have that new growth, new ideas, new, yeah, it just feels refreshing would be my word.
Refreshing.
What about you?
I would say, yeah, the idea of renewal. Yes, I feel like we're coming from Pisces, so I feel like the sense of kind of being more attuned with your inner world and your fantasies and your and needing to sleep and to kind of be very much in touch with yourself. And maybe, you know, during Pisces season, I always feel a bit overwhelmed by the outer world. And I think it's because I feel really this need to kind of retreat a little bit.
Yeah,
and then
I agree.
When the Aries season comes in, I'm like, yeah, let's go out.
Let's go. Yeah, and it is. It's an action time. I feel like you can get so much more done. And, you know, somehow that new year starts, you know, in January, even though that's not astrologically the new year. And you kind of start to get going. And then I find February, March is like this weird blur. And we don't, we get a bit lost in that Pisces. And then we're like, oh my God, how did we get to March 21st or whatever day it changes, you know, each year? And we're like, oh, and it's like we re-wake up. And you reset yourself into that next phase. I love the seasons and operating off of the seasons. I think they're so underrated for how we should do action or how we feel or like how we, you know, I can't help bring in health as a medical astrologer, but how we do health per season. You know, there's really different things to do to make your body feel better, depending on if you're in, you know, deep winter, deep summer, spring. It's that transition season. It's a transition season, so it's a great time to make changes. And then Aries comes in and you want to change everything at once.
Yeah, I think it's great. Okay, fantastic. So we usually look at classic Aries people. The first thing I was thinking was the idea of people who are pioneers.
Yep.
So I looked up, I used to be a flight attendant some years ago. So I looked up at the Wilbur Wright, who was the first human to fly, which is a bit of a contradiction. Some people say it wasn't him really, but we don't have the time. So we don't know if he's ascendant or anything, but we know he was an Aries. So I think it was like, yes, I knew he was going to be
belief,
an Aries.
Right? The belief, you know, Aries have these unnatural, but, you know, big beliefs that they can do stuff too, right? You have that leap from Pisces possibility into Aries action. I love seeing, that Aries pioneer energy is amazing.
Yeah. And I think also it's this idea that you cannot know how things are going to turn out unless you try them out. I think this is what's wonderful about Aries, that it's action first and then thinking.
As an Aries sun, as we talked about before we started recording, absolutely. Why would you actually think about what the end game is? That's not, Aries are never thinking of the end game. We're just all about, oh, that sounds great, let's go do it. And then sometimes you go do stuff and then you're like, oh, how did I get here? Whoops, I got to figure out how the end game is going to play out. But yeah, if we overthought that end game, you wouldn't do stuff, right? That feels like inertia, having to figure out the whole thing, whereas that start just feels so great.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I would say when you look at people who are entrepreneurs, usually these are people who know there are going to be risks, but they don't try to control everything from the beginning. They just go and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so part I think of the, that, yeah. that fire quest, that adventure. It's, you know, I definitely think it's about, yeah, how we, yeah. I think there's an adventure to fire signs or Aries specifically where we're willing to just go and do it because it's not about the, it's not even about the end result. It's about as you, you know, what's happening as you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this guy, Wilbur Wright, at some point he said, come on, let's go and fly. Why not?
That's amazing. That is amazing. I'm still in awe when I'm in that big metal tube in the sky thinking, how did we even figure out how to like fly that much weight of that many people? If you think about it, you wouldn't get on a plane.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And for me, you know, I studied all the, I had to study the, not deeply, but a little bit the physics about it.
Yeah.
And it's still like I could explain it to passengers who would ask me and it was like, it's still a mystery. This is the logical side of it, but still a mystery. Yeah.
I know. I agree.
So who is your favorite Aries? Well, not maybe your favorite, but someone you like.
I often look at Lady Gaga's chart. I think she is an absolute inspiration and complete, she's a classic pioneer, classic Aries. She's just so out there doing it rather than, you know, overthinking it. And you have that fire changing all the time as well, that metamorphosis that always happens about her. Do you have her chart up?
Yeah, I'm looking at her chart now. Yes. So if you, people want to cast her chart, she was born 28th of March, 1986. At 9:53 in Manhattan, New York.
Yeah.
So she's the sun in Aries with the moon in Scorpio.
Yeah.
And ascendant in Gemini, right?
Yeah. 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 But that Aries sun, you know, 7 degrees Aries sun, depending on the house system, you're looking at 10th or the 11th house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, yeah, so dynamic. And Venus and Aries.
Yeah. And I think she does have in her songs this idea of you are the right to be, you have the right to be whoever you want to be, just be yourself, express who you are, and these kind of things.
Yeah. And willing to be out. She's willing to be out front, not even so much, you know, I don't know what the drive is behind it for her, but she's really willing to be out there and risk, right? And she's, I love that, right?
Remember when she went to the this award gala with the dress meat. Made up of meat? Oh my God, yes.
I really think you have to have a little bit. I mean, if you look at fire signs rule the muscles of the body. So let me make this a bit easier for the vegetarians of the group. Fire rules muscle. And so I find it interesting that an Aries sun was willing to, you know, because meat is muscle. She was wearing a muscle dress.
Yes.
You know, if you look in some house systems, that's an, she's an 11th house sun, only just. And part of me is like, yeah, that fits too, right? Just willing to really be on that other level of out there with it. Yeah.
Yeah, completely. And I'm looking also, her mid heaven is in Pisces.
Yes.
So I think, and the ruler of her Gemini ascendant is in Pisces, Mercury is in Pisces. So I think that may also be why, even if she's so challenging, perhaps, and so strong and so fierce, people get it. They feel
we love
like,
her.
Yeah, yeah.
People love her. I mean, I have to say, when she first came on the scene, I wasn't so, I was like, what is going on? It took me a while to concept where she was at. And then you just fall in love with her. She's just,
Yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah. And she's got that Jupiter, right? Conjunct that midheaven, right? In Pisces as well.
Yeah. I also didn't like it at first when she first came out to the world. Yeah. I was like, who is this?
Yeah. It was a bit much. She was much. She was a lot, right? That was a lot to take. But yeah. And then you just, I don't know. I think you see that Pisces in her more and more, maybe. Don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Yes. I think we see the combination. I think she gets to combine the two, really.
Yeah.
Also, in her video clips, the images she uses and everything, I think it has to do with being able to express all of these areas in a very aesthetic way. Yeah.
Yeah, but then, and then you add on, you know, she's got Moon conjunct Pluto in Scorpio. And again, depending on what house system I have it in, what house do you have it in?
I have it in equal, but let's go with yours.
But what house is her Moon sitting in for you?
For me, it's in the fifth house.
Yeah, so for me, it's also in the fifth, yeah. And her health stuff is really interesting to look at with this chart as well. I won't go there, but that Moon Pluto, that's intense, yeah. With the South Node right there, that fifth house creativity and what she went through. Like if you go into her story of trying to kind of get into music and the ex-boyfriend telling her that she would never be famous, no one would ever know who she was a terrible singer. Like she had this ex-boyfriend who was really controlling and negative to her. She was very Pluto Moon with the South Node there in the fifth. So there was this whole wounding around that creativity. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. But the fierce Aries got her
keep
way.
Going. Yes. You gotta keep very going. Good. Yeah. You actually wouldn't want to get there on the wrong side of her either, I think. I mean, I've never even heard if she has a temper or not, but an Aries sun with a Moon and Scorpio,
I
don't think I would want to mess, and Moon conjunct Pluto, I don't think I would want to mess with her in the wrong way.
Yeah,
although you haven't heard about many feuds with her or anything, you don't hear about that, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, great. I was also thinking of the chart of Maya Angelou.
Amazing Aries.
Yeah, she's Sun in Aries conjunct Jupiter in Aries.
Yeah, in the ninth too.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that it's in the ninth and that expression that got to so many of us on such deep spiritual level, what she was saying. I think her information really resonated, you know. She was very spoken word. She was a poet and a writer, right? But yet she was almost that ninth house orator of, you know, there was so much meaning to everything she said. I love it.
She was fantastic. And I got a quote from her. She says, "Courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently.
Aww.
You can practice any virtue erratically, but nothing consistently without courage." Yes.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
I think she was very brave.
That's very Aries. Favorite word. It's favorite word of mine, courage. Actually.
I think that's what we look up to, Aries, because they are brave. They're courageous. Yeah. Yes.
You know, I don't even think we're that brave. I just think we don't think and we do. And it looks courageous. But maybe sometimes it's not so smart.
Maybe, yeah.
But I know what you're saying. I know, yeah. To not have courage would be to not be able to take chances would be so boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we usually go for a section in which we think about things we could do in Aries season, like things that are aligned with Aries season.
Yeah.
And of course, the first thing I thought was the idea of starting the gym, going to sports.
Yeah.
It's like you were saying, like in New Year's Eve, we make all of these goals that we want to do. I'm going to start the gym and everything. I think a lot of people maybe sign up in January, but then in February, they go out.
And the Pisces, they just stay in bed and have some champagne.
So we get to Aries and it's like, come on, do the goals you had proposed to yourself for New Year.
And it's a better time, really. Energetically, it's a better time to put things into action, right?
Yeah, I think so.
At that equinox, the equinox and it's just amazing. So going to the gym, doing anything with your muscles, running, walking, hiking, martial arts is a really classic Aries style. You know, you go anything has an opponent or a battle in some ways. Not that you have to be in battle, but something to challenge you. is awesome. Kickboxing. I always go back to kickboxing in March, April. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. You have a lot of areas. I could never do that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also a time to take care of yourself. You know, if we go for a non-combative idea, you know, everyone always, oh, Aries is so selfish. It's, you know, we're self-focused because if we're not balanced, we can't give. Like, if we don't give to ourselves first, it feels really awkward to give, right? Whereas other signs have other things about them. It's a bit different. And I like to look at that self-care idea.
Mm.
And we all, Aries is a time to take care of yourself. You're in a growth phase and you have to water your own soil and your own roots and who you are in order to give to other people. You know, in the world of helping everybody else, you can't, you know, as I say, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
I think Aries season is a great time to fill your own cup.
Mm. I like that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever that is for, you know, reading your favorite book, sitting in the bath, exercising, doing something with your diet, going and getting a massage. All these things sound a bit Taurus to me. But anyway, doing something for yourself to then be able to give more.
Yeah, like pursue your desires, pursue what makes you be who you are. This is the idea. Like we were saying with Lady Gaga, she, one of the things we can say about her, we don't know her, but she looks quite authentic. So this is the idea, like follow your bliss, let's say.
Yeah, and I think, and there's another Aries, Joseph Campbell. Wasn't he an Aries?
Ah, yeah, it's true.
He's one of my favorite Aries. Yes, there's another Aries. And what a great tagline for him, right? I love his chart. I'm going to pull his chart up while we talk. He's like my most inspirational. You asked me earlier and I thought of Lady Gaga, but really? I'd go Joseph Campbell.
Yeah, it's true because he did this whole thing about the hero's journey, which is very Aries. You know, I'm going to do a workshop on Joseph Campbell, hero's journey and the astrology
at the end of the month.
Yes.
Oh, I don't have his chart.
It's very exciting, yeah. Well, it's okay, but we know he's an Aries. Yes, he has a lot of Aries. He says Sun conjunct Jupiter, and I think it was Mercury also there in Aries.
Hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
and like very very tight, like 1 degree or less conjunction.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like there was some Sag there too, but maybe it was a ninth house thing. I can't remember.
And he was very brave when he came up with this idea.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a thing too, I think, with Aries season, with that renewal and that energy that, you know, he put a lot of different parts together. And sometimes I think because Aries is so in the moment and doing, that sometimes in that action, they actually, as much as when I was like, oh, it's a little child, they don't, you know, they're not sure what they're doing. There's this, I find a lot of Aries have that ability to put together multiple layers and ideas and come with, you know, they collect all this information and then they come out with these new ideas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Mars and Aries as well. Sun, Mercury, Jupiter, Mars in the sixth. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is in Pluto's
chart. Moon in Leo. Yeah. Yeah, and Moon in Leo. That's it. I knew his moon was fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a lot of fire, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I like him.
And I like this idea of self-care in Aries because I like the idea of, I think, one of the traits of Aries is honesty.
Yeah.
And so the idea of, okay, using this time to be honest with yourself. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you really want to do? And also, what is it that you need to achieve these goals, and are you willing to invest the effort and energy that it takes?
Yeah, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but we have an eclipse. I mean, the ingress into Aries, and then we have the new moon. Like, is it like an hour after the ingress or something really close? So like, if I've been looking at, I follow a few people that do more astrological magic and different rituals in astrology, and they're talking about how this ingress into Aries with that new moon is just such a potent day for all of us. I think it would be a great day for us all to take off and not go anywhere and do create for ourselves and really re-engage. I think it's a real, you know, if you look at that Aries 0 degree, it's the beginning of the whole zodiac, right? It's the beginning of a big cycle, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then the nodes coming in really soon after that, right?
Exactly. Yes. So the 20th of March, Sun goes into Aries, and on the 21st we have the new moon. So it's like you were saying, it's like the new moon is at 0 degrees 49 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like right there. Yes.
In Australia, it's on the same day, but I could be wrong.
It's on the same day.
Because we're ahead of you anyway. So for us, the ingress is on the 21st. And I feel like I'd have to look it up. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So probably it's the same day. Yeah. But anyway, it's what you said. It's like hours later, you just have the new moon.
Yeah.
So it's like a super new start in so many different levels. How do you take also this new moon? You know, it's moon, sun in Aries, Mercury in Aries, Chiron in Aries, Jupiter in Aries.
That's a stellium, man. What a stellium.
It's like super fiery. Yes.
Oh, actually, I'm wrong. It is almost a day later. I'm trying to look at it.
Okay. And then while you pull it up, another interesting point, I think, is that the new moon is ruled by this Mars in Gemini.
Yeah.
At the last degrees, finally, it's going to go and it's going to go into Cancer. So when we get to the full moon, Mars is already in Cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready for it to move to the next sign. I know Mars in Cancer isn't the world's, you know, easiest placement, as you would say. But I think we're done with Mars in Gemini.
Yeah, I think we are.
I'm done.
And what do you think? How would you take this new moon? What would you say? How would you see it?
Let me go back to it. Yeah. So it's 4 a.m. for me in Australia, the new moon.
Are you going to wake up to do the magical ritual at 4 a.m?
Probably. Probably. Yeah. It's like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I got a lot of Aries. I can wake up at 5 really easy. So to get up at 4 is not going to be too bad.
Nice.
I say that now. I'll probably be asleep. But what do I think about it? I mean, well, it depends where you are. I mean, I'm looking at it for me in Australia and it's Aquarius rising. It's a second house. If I'm using Placidus, otherwise it would jump to the third house for a lot of other placements. But like I said, I just think it's the beginning of a really big shift. We've got all these other shifts, right? We've got, you know, Saturn has moved now into Pisces. This is just before Pluto moves into Aquarius. I just feel like there's this whole momentum. It's this whole swell of change happening and you know I think it's you know kicking off that whole energy. I'm really fascinated by what's going to happen. I think you know things are going to speed up. We're going to have a lot more, I mean it's obviously going to have more action, we're in Aries, but I just think there's going to be some bigger changes quickly that we're not expecting. I don't even know in what area, but yeah, with that Pluto moving into Aquarius, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think I was thinking when you were saying this, I was thinking about everything that's happening with the economy.
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with Saturn in Pisces, but maybe there's more to come with this change of Pluto into Aquarius. And and what I was thinking when I was looking at this new moon is this sense of, you were saying that this new moon happens right after the beginning of the year. So I feel like it's seeding the spirit for the whole year in some ways. So I think new moons to me have this sense of integrity, of kind of joining together your more conscious and unconscious side. This is obviously coming from psychological astrology.
That's all right.
So I have this sense of integrity. Like it's a calling to, again, to be honest with yourself. Like this is the year in which you're allowed to try to be yourself and to try to really be honest with yourself. Like whatever you feel, to make it aligned to what your goals are and how you express yourself out there.
Yeah. Well, and with Pluto going into Aquarius at the same time, basically, I think that's going to enable us to do that better. You know, I think Pluto in Capricorn keeps us very staid and steady, and we're thinking about the economy and we're thinking about structures. And then it moves into Aquarius and it's like, oh, I'm going to swear here, but what the fuck are we going to do? Like, let's go. Like, this is a whole nother level of plugging us in, you know, society. And I'm kind of excited. And then with the nodes coming through, I can't remember when they're happening, but, and the North Node then going into Aries is just going to add, it's going to pull us in that direction. I'm interested. I'm a little worried. I think I'm going to go back to COVID and all of us being in lockdown. And I feel like, and maybe this is just being in Sydney, but I feel like people have gone one of two ways with COVID. We've either gone a lot more global and we're more courteous to each other and we're more aware of each other as a society and supporting each other. And then I think there's another group of people that went into this fear and it's all about them. And it's just, it's me. And I find people are like driving. I live in a major city with a lot of traffic. People are either super rude and selfish or they're incredibly courteous. And it's like, it's polarized us in a lot of things. And I think with all this Aries energy coming, hopefully that's not going to accentuate that polarization. But I think we're also going to, we're going to see a lot of true colors of people, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. And I think, you know, the full moon then, when we get the full moon, so we pick up, we get to Libra, right? So I always have this idea that, you know, with the new moon in Aries, we're given this opportunity to figure out who we are, what we want. And because Mars is still in Cancer, ruling this, in Gemini, ruling this new moon, we can kind of rationalize and think about it. And it's the last, it's like we've been thinking about our drives for, like you were saying, for a very long time.
Yeah.
When we get to the full moon, we get to involve Aries into the equation, and Mars, who's still going to be the ruler, let's say, of the Sun, is going to be in Cancer. So I think there is this sense of, okay, but your drives and desires and your wishes are not just your own. There are other people around. So how do you manage that? And I think you were mentioning the pandemic, and I think one of the key learning lessons was how to cope with people who really don't think the way I think, and how not to be drastic, how not to start thinking in these terms like you're either with me or against me.
Yeah.
And becoming very, very obsessed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think this is going to bring it out even more?
I think it's going to bring it out even more because I think Pluto, when it goes into Aquarius, Pluto goes into Aquarius on the 23rd, and I think it's going to bring out fundamentalism. Like I was looking at the last time Pluto was into Aquarius, and it was during the French Revolution. And one of the problems with the French Revolution is that you were either in favor of the revolution or you were against.
And if
you were accused of, if you criticized a little thing about the revolution, then you were an enemy. It's like, how you're criticizing what we're doing.
So, and it was American Revolution as well. And that was very polarized, right? Around the same time, 1770s, right? You had all these revolutions happening. And you know, other astrologers have talked about that with Pluto moving into Aquarius. My thing that pops into my mind when you were talking about that is the whole cancel culture that we've come into. And is it going to get even worse? Or has the pendulum swung, and once we get into Aquarius, hopefully we'll see it in a different, it's been so drastic, you know, if you're not doing the right thing, and if you know, and people are trying, and yes, sure, there's people to be canceled, but it's, who are we to judge each other? I feel like I feel like there's been a lot of judgment since the pandemic or at the end of Pluto in oh my God, Capricorn. So what's going to happen with it moving into Aquarius? Are we going to be able to see that bigger picture? Are we going to be better about it with humanity and gentler on each other? Or is it, you know, are we going to have something even bigger going on? You know, there's so many polarizing, there's so many extreme people at the moment. I find it really scary. I'm like, because I'm not a polar person. I'm like, I mean, I get nervous.
For myself, like, I try not to be polarized, but I can see sometimes, you know, you meet people who have this extreme rigid way of thinking, and sometimes there are people you love, and it was like, how do I manage to
accept? That's unconditional love. That's what that's what we need to find, right?
And also how do we manage to love them unconditionally, like you're saying, but then also it's, what does it imply? Even because sometimes you have this feeling like, should these people be allowed to say these things, like when people are very extreme,
violent? Whether it's violence against women, violence against, you know, there's so much, you know, the whole trans movement, and then the people that are really polarized against it, especially in the US, it's just frightening. It's absolutely frightening how judgy people are being about other people. And maybe in Aries, we stop. I would love, I mean, this is again like my little Pisces rising coming out. Can't it all be nice? Maybe we start focusing on ourselves rather than pulling apart other people's decisions, because we should all be able to make our own decisions, right? Like, whether it's, you know, gender, sexuality, like, why aren't we, you know, hopefully with this coming into Aquarius, we're going to let people do what they need to do with themselves, right?
Yeah. But, hopefully, yes.
Hopefully the structure, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. We will see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But I think it's lovely. Interesting. So on the 23rd, Pluto goes into Aquarius, and I think, we need to see, like, for a personal level, what I would say always, because we can talk also about, like, in macro level, but then in micro level, I would say pay attention to things that happen to you on that day, because it might symbolize how your relationship with Pluto, because for us, astrologers, beginnings are important, so how your relationship with Pluto in Aquarius is going to be for the next years. Yeah,
that's a good one. And setting up what's your next 20 years going to be about. Yeah,
exactly.
What house is that in for you, and what does that? What is it aspecting?
So
I don't have much in fixed. I feel a little bit relaxed, but you can never relax with Pluto. So.
But I think that's why you're more positive about it.
Yes, and maybe because I have this relief that, like, 3/4 of my chart is cardinal, and I've you know, hopefully survived through.
So now also Saturn is in Pisces, so you also, it's like, okay, well, but it's gonna be, you said you had Pisces rising.
There's something always going to happen, right? We always got our transits. You know, if I look at my progress chart, it's all fixed. So I better not speak too soon.
So for this new moon, from a medical perspective, since you're a medical astrologer, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I would really look at, one of my favorite things to do is to look at where the new moon is sitting in your chart. What house is that activating, and how can I express my health through that stage or through that agenda of whatever house it's in, because it's in Aries for all of us. But, you know, is it going to be in your first house, which is much more about self? Is it going to be in the fifth and you need to go out dancing and being creative and listening to music? And I'm a fan of doing things to express it house-wise, because then I think, I always talk about planets being heard, you know, planets, I know we're talking new moon, but planets in our chart, you know, we're this whole symphony, we're this whole natal chart that has to work together, but every planet wants a solo, every planet wants to be heard. And I always talk about, you know, supporting planets in the house they're in the sign they're in for their expression. And then when we have, you know, like a new moon, like this is so potent. How does that want to be seen in the house that it's in for you? And that's where I would really focus on health. You know, if it's in the sixth house, it's really getting down to the detail of your diet and your daily ritual and your daily patterns and what, you know, what you're actually, you know, it's your small intestines and what you're eating and how your body's reacting on a daily basis to your health, right? Whereas if it was in you know, the ninth house, that's much more about sport and adventure and maybe not abusing your liver too much. that would be my suggestion for people, is what's it activating? And because it is, it's activating for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. Yeah. It's a great idea. So look at your chart where you have 0 degrees Aries and which house that is, and that's going to be activated with his new moon.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really is a place to support yourself, because it is Aries. It's about the self, you know. Mm-hmm. Take yourself out for a dinner or a walk or a, you know, whatever it is that would make that area happy.
Nice. Would you say this is for, do you have, some people use the new moon for 6 months, some people use it for 9 months. And in this case, we're talking this idea that it's the new moon for the whole year, because it's just starting. What would you say? What would you say, like, for how long should we focus on that?
Well, I would say it's impossible to have goals for 6 months or a year. I would bring it back to the month. The month, you know, in a lot of medical, in a lot of, we're such cyclical people. I love using lunar cycles for health, because we can easily do, I'm a huge fan of, you know, that new moon to the full moon is that building, but that's where we can work really hard on our health. And then we, from the full moon to the new moon again, relax a little bit. Don't be as, like, if I do weight loss with clients, I know this is going to jump topics here, but I'm a huge fan of cyclical dieting. Like, if someone came and like, I want to lose weight, nobody loves being on a diet for 10 weeks or 12 weeks, or no one follows a diet for that long, right? It's just, we can't do that. We get bored. So yeah, absolutely. At least I start, but I don't always finish. There's this research around cyclical dieting, having nothing to do with astrology, but putting people on a weight loss program, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And they end up with better results than the people that do like 12 weeks straight, because they get to take a break. And they don't feel restricted all the time. So I overlap that with the lunar cycle. Mm. Where some people are like, no, you need to be losing weight from the full moon to the new moon, because that's when the moon's getting smaller and it's shedding. And I agree and I get that idea, but I actually like doing new to full, because that's when you have the strength and you're more badass to stick to something more strict. So I use that a lot for people, and I think this is a great one to focus on. But I'm a huge fan of focusing only a month ahead. We can't. Yeah, it's hard to stick to stuff. Yeah.
Okay, it's a great idea. I like it a lot, actually. Yeah. Hmm. So we have the new moon on the 21st of March. I'm going to rush a little bit because I want to get to the eclipse chart. Yep. On the 23rd, Pluto goes into Aquarius. On the 25th, Mars goes into Cancer. So I guess we're all going to feel that change after Mars being in Gemini for so long. Then on the 3rd of April, Mercury goes into Taurus. 6th of April, well, maybe in your time zone, it's going to change a little bit, these dates. 6th of April, we get the full moon with the moon
it's
in Libra.
Still the 6th for me. Yep.
Okay, 11th of April, we have Venus in Gemini. So Venus goes to Gemini from Taurus.
Yeah.
And then on the 20th of April, just before the sun goes to Taurus, we have a new moon with a solar eclipse. So we're starting our eclipse season here.
Yeah.
And I don't know, what did you have? Did you have any thoughts about this?
I'm pulling up the chart as we speak.
So the first thing we were talking about, this idea of the 29 degrees, because the eclipse is happening at 29 degrees 50 minutes. So we were talking about this idea of, you know, like some astrologers pay a lot of attention to the 29 degrees, saying it's like bad degree.
Anoretic, yeah.
Yeah. And you were saying, I love your story about
it. Oh, well, I'm not against the tradition of anaretic. I get it. But when when I was a baby astrologer and I first learned about that, I was like, what do you mean there's a negative degree? And I get all the reasons why people say it. But I jokingly said, and I'm not saying this is fact, this is making stuff up, but I was like, maybe the person that decided that was really angry at somebody else who had a lot of 29 degrees in their chart. And so they made it up that, like, because I just was like, that's so mean, but I don't like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe someone just made that up to get back at somebody else. But, and I know that's not the case, and there's a lot of reason for it. I'm not going against that, but you know, there's other astrologers that talk about it being this potent degree. It's this distillation of knowledge that you've been through a whole degree, and then you're at this potent moment that's so, it's so intensely that sign at 29. Maybe that's why part of it looks anaretic. It's just too much for some people, maybe. But yeah, there's some astrologers that talk about it just being this really potent degree. It knows what it's doing at that level. And yeah, it's awkward right before change. It's about to stop being what it is and move to something else. But I don't know. How do you feel about 29?
Yeah, well, I like this idea of looking at the dignities. So if the moon is at 29 of Aries, it means that she's going to go into Taurus, which she probably likes.
Yeah.
So I would say that it's a moment in which we feel like our inner selves kind of accelerating and anxious to move forward. That's what I would think. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that idea. Yeah. And it will feel better when it moves, but it's, I think there's something we always need to learn from the 29th degree. It just doesn't always feel great. That's really how I said, right? There's like, what did we need to learn during Aries that now has got to 29? And if we haven't learned our lesson or what was meant to be found during that process through that sign, maybe that's why the 29th can feel so anaretic. It's like, it's making sure you learn what you needed to learn before it moves on. And I've never thought about it that way. That just kind of came up now. It's an Aries making stuff up. But, you know, maybe that's why it hurts sometimes.
I think it's great
making sure we learn it.
Yeah. So if we go back to the new moon at the beginning of the Aries season, and then the Aries season is ending with this other new moon at 29 degrees of Aries, which is not just a new moon, it's an eclipse moon.
Yeah.
Maybe there is this kind of, I mean, like you were saying, take this month to really look after yourself, to find what you really want to do, because otherwise the eclipse might feel very, very challenging. Like things are about to change and you were given this month to explore who you are, what you want.
And, you know, the nodes are still Taurus Scorpio at that point. But if you take that Aries Libra energy, you know, it's that real dichotomy of self versus other. And what did we need to learn there? What did we need to learn to balance? And it's going to be that's a potent eclipse, I reckon.
Yeah.
And the beginning of that eclipse season is big. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Even if the nodes are in Taurus Scorpio, the North node is going to be ruled by Venus in Gemini. And the South node is going to be ruled, whatever, depending on how you take it, but maybe Mars in Cancer or Pluto in Aquarius, who had just entered into Aquarius. So I think this focus of other people around is emphasized, it's still emphasized.
Oh, yeah. Because
Cancer is about belonging, Gemini is about how we communicate with others, and Aquarius is about society,
humanity.
Right?
Yeah. So there's some lessons to be learned there, and deep lessons with it, you know, that South Node still being in Scorpio. That's deep. There's some deep, you know, and it's basically squaring to Pluto. Hadn't really looked at the chart much before yesterday. And I'm like, oh, wow, let's stay inside that day.
Well, but I think also, you know, I have this feeling of, you were talking about the 29 degree being this moment in which we realize things are about to change. Mm-hmm. And I have this feeling this is the beginning of the new world, let's say. Maybe I'm too epic, but
I love that. I love the way you said that too.
Like Saturn now moved to Pisces, Pluto moved to Aquarius, Mars is in Cancer, and we have this eclipse at the end of Aries. So it's like, it's the end of the beginning. This is the idea. It's the end of the beginning of the new world that we have been kind of
getting ready for.
Getting ready for during the past years, I would say.
And you know, Pluto is, look, if you look at Pluto in medical astrology, Pluto is, you know, it's birth and death. It's genetics. It's the fusing of your DNA. You know, it's like the making of a, you know, not making of a baby, but it's like egg and sperm coming together in that whole genetic dance and DNA that happens. But it's also detoxification and getting rid of your shit, like literally getting rid of your shit, and this catharsis. So yeah, it's potent, man. Those are some potent points we're coming into, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and yeah, detox, like not detox like, oh my god, you need to go off alcohol. Like detox is the body getting rid of the junk and the garbage that we no longer need. It's getting rid of toxic material that's harming us, or would harm us if it stayed in the body, and it's how to get it out of the body. And so I think there's a lot of that to come, of just moving stuff through and out, and maybe throwing some stuff out, right? Whether they be ideas or physical things, or, you know, society doing that. I think that's big.
Yeah, I love this idea actually, because the South Node is in Scorpio, and the North Node is in Taurus, and the eclipse is happening close to the North Node. So my feeling is like the calling is to go towards the North Node, to leave the Scorpio behind. So perhaps to leave behind, I don't mean that. Yeah, exactly. I need an Aries to say it. I was afraid to be rude. I was going to say toxicity, and I didn't know how to say it.
But you know, that, you know, Scorpio rules everything coming out of, you know, Pluto rules stuff coming out of the body. It's feces, it's urine, it's sweat, it's snot coming out of your nose. All of that is a very Pluto, you know, your body is so smart and self-cleaning and regulating, and it knows what to get rid of. And it's like, it's in this new fit with this trigger of that nodes, you know, especially because, you know, that North Node is where we bring energy in, and the South Node is where we have to release stuff from. So we're having this kind of double release going on.
Nice. And I like the idea of what you said, like not only physically, also mentally, maybe spiritually, emotionally.
Especially within an Aquarius, right? So there's a lot of mental there as well. What is our mental garbage that needs to be? What are our thoughts that need to be released, changed,
and
grow? What needs to grow, you know?
Yeah, I would say, like, what promotes life with Aries and Taurus being emphasized? The idea of life is beginning. What promotes life? What promotes growth? Yeah, growth in a sense of life thriving, not in a sense of monetary growth, maybe.
Yeah. But you need to release, you know, cells need to die before new cells become, right? Like there's that whole process in the body. So
nice. Yeah. Great.
And then a few hours here. I love it.
A few hours later, the sun will go into Taurus, and we're going to have a new podcast for that. So usually we look at some dates in which we think maybe good for some stuff. So I was looking at the 29th. So there's a trine between Mars in Cancer and Saturn in Pisces that it stays for many days since the beginning of the season. So it depends on the orb that people use. But on the 29th of March, this trine becomes quite exact, and it picks up a sextile to Mercury in Aries. So it's making a minor grand trine. So this would be...
Oh, it is too. Yep.
Mars in Cancer, Saturn in Pisces, Mercury in Aries. And I was thinking, I wasn't sure whether to put it or not because of what you said. Mars in Cancer, it's so like, oh, it's not a good Mars. But I don't like to follow things that much, to be honest.
No, I never.
Nice. I was thinking this could be actually a moment in which, you know, Mars and Saturn, so it's like you can actually structure your inner desires because it's in water, like what your emotions are thriving for. And with Mercury in Aries, to put it out there, to be very clear of what you feel, what you need, and be very honest about it with other people. So I think it could be a good chance, a good moment to talk about your feelings, I think.
Yeah, and find where they, you know, with that Saturn, finding the boundaries of how you feel. I think, you know, with Saturn and Pisces, you know, some people are like, oh my gosh, that's so, it's such an odd placement, or, you know, it's, you know, after having Saturn in its home signs for so long, but it brings some protect, you know, the way I like to think of it in a positive way is it's bringing, you know, Saturn is form and structure, and it creates boundaries in this sign that has terrible boundaries. And so I think maybe we can put into words or put into place or practice, we can contain and understand in a different way with Saturn in Pisces and that Mercury in Aries at the same time. I think we might actually be able to be a bit insightful and find words for what usually is so elusive for us.
Yeah, I Pisces, agree.
Right?
Yeah.
That Pisces, it's so hard to grasp what you mean or what you're, you know, and maybe that grounds us a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
In a podcast I was doing, not a podcast, but like a little live on some social media platform, I can't remember. I was also talking about, you know, Saturn in Pisces is a time to rest. So now I'm going opposite to all this Aries stuff I talked about. But, you know, Saturn is your original ruler of sleep. Like if you go back in traditional astrology before we had Neptune, and yes, the moon is really about nighttime, or, you know, we have Neptune in dreams, but Saturn is about sitting still and resting and sleep. And I think there's this pulling in energy with Saturn in Pisces where we're, yeah, I think it's a good time to find your boundaries so that you're not being overdrained and resting when you need to rest.
Yeah, and I don't think it's contradictory because you were talking about the Aries thing, but you made this emphasis of the cyclic of the,
yeah.
So this idea of maybe focus on Aries for these 14 days, but Saturn is going to be in Pisces for two years and a half. So
yeah.
Nice.
I think we're, I kind of am excited for the Saturn in Pisces actually.
Nice. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. Yes. Yeah. I also think it's beautiful. Mm. Then on the 2nd of April, I got this idea, the moon goes, it's going to go into Virgo, and it's going to trine then Uranus in Taurus and Venus in Taurus. So this is going to, the moon goes into Virgo on the 2nd of April. And I think so these few days, the 2nd, the 3rd of April, 4th of April, might be nice days to think about, reflect, because it's the idea of the moon, how reflect your needs about perhaps relationships with Venus there and what you might need to change in that to make it work. And also, I would say also your relationship with money, you know, with Venus in Taurus, because Venus is not just relationships. I think it's also how we relate to money. And I don't know, the moon in Virgo being wanted to be practical and wanted to be effective with this trine to Uranus and Venus in Taurus, I think there might be this idea.
I like that. And you know, but it's, you know, it's Uranus, it's radical. It's like a big thoughts, big way to look at it, or big change, you know, even though it's a Taurus, doesn't want to do big change very quickly, but
But to start reflecting on that, what you need to change to feel satisfied in relationship with in your relationships and also in money wise. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, that Uranus enables you to do radical change. It enables you to do, in medical astrology, Uranus transits allow people to do massive lifestyle changes that they've never been able to do before. And it's like this lightning bolt of action for people. So I think that's going to be a bit interesting.
Activating
that radical ability to change, if you so desire.
Because on the 4th, actually, if you use it, depending on the orb, it's going to pick up Pluto at the beginning of Aquarius. So it's like a grand trine between Venus, the moon, and Pluto. So I think it's emphasizing this idea of the opportunity of radical change.
I think Pluto in Aquarius is going to bring, oh my gosh, a lot of radical coming. Hopefully just radical change, not just crazy radical.
Nice. Okay, we are kind of wrapping up now, and we always leave with a kind of a mantra or a kind of phrase or something to kind of sum up. I had thought one, but I don't think it applies so much with what we've been discussing. I had thought something which is coming from Gestalt Therapy by Fritz Perls. And it says, I do my thing and you do your thing. I'm not in this world to live up to your expectations, and you're not in this world to live up to mine. You are you and I am I. And if by chance we find each other, it's beautiful. If not, it can't be helped.
I love that.
I like this idea because I was thinking of the idea of the Aries Libra axis. So this idea of I am here, you are there. But perhaps we could come up with something that has to do with this idea of cleansing.
Oh. What do you, quote on cleansing?
We don't need a quote. We can create now.
I have a Joseph Campbell quote.
What do you have? Yes.
I have a Joseph Campbell quote. Out of perfection, nothing can be made. Every process involves breaking something up. The earth must be broken to bring forth life. If the seed does not die, there is no plant. Bread results from the death of wheat. Life lives on lives. Our own life lives on the acts of other people. If you are life worthy, you can take it.
I love it, and I think it really applies to what we've been discussing.
It's very Aries, yeah.
Yes.
Sitting on my computer. I only have one quote sitting on my computer at the moment.
Nice, I love it. Great. Are you reading anything right now? We always share if you are reading anything or if you've read something interesting in the past weeks.
I have not been reading anything astrologically.
No, it doesn't have to be astrological.
Oh, okay. I've been reading a lot. This is going to sound very boring. Oh, my God. I've been reading a lot of research on circadian rhythms and how this applies to astrology, how cyclical we are, whether it be our sleep-wake cycle or our digestive cycle, or for, you know, women and people with uteruses, their menstrual cycle. And I've just been reading on how it gets set and how to change it. And it's pretty fascinating how cyclical we are. And then I love that because it, in a way to me, it adds to astrology, because astrology is all about cycles. So that's what I've been reading on. Sachin Panda is actually the professor I've been reading. Yeah.
Wow. Nice. I've been reading The Theogony by Hesiod. I mean, rereading, but probably
read before. Yep.
And I love it because for him, Eros is not the son of Aphrodite. It's like one of the primal gods. It's like one of the forces that moves the universe. And I love it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And you're in Greece, right? So, oh my gosh, soaking up all of that mythology. I have global placement envy living.
Yeah, you should come. All right, great. So
that was really fun, Alejo. Thank you.
It was really fun. How can people find you? Do you have any upcoming events?
So I am, my website and my Instagram is Astrology of Health. So you can find me there. Or if you just Google me, you'll find it. what do I have coming up? I'm in the middle of doing a 5-week level 3 medical astrology that I just teach myself through my own school. And then I'm going to be in London in May, June, lecturing at the London School of Astrology. I've got stuff coming up with Kepler. I got stuff all over the place.
Nice.
So, all right. Always medical. Yep.
Nice. So people can go to your website, Astrology
Of Health. Okay.
Of Health.
And you can see all the stuff that's coming up there. That's probably a better way to see it. Yeah.
Great. Okay, great. Thank you. So in Astrology University, what we have coming up is on the 22nd of March, there's going to be a course starting, which is an introduction to electional astrology with Mary Shi, which I think it's this idea of Aries and beginnings. That's why I thought it's interesting to share this course.
Yeah.
And then on the 25th of March, there's a summit with a lot of astrologers, Kelly Sartis, Mark Jones, Lynn Bell.
Yeah.
Stephen Forrest, Darby Costello, a lot of them, about Pluto in Aquarius. So I would advise everyone to see it. If you want to get in touch with me, my webpage is Liminal Cosmos. On the 30th of March, I'm teaching this webinar about the astrology of the hero's journey through the Faculty of Astrological Studies. And then on the 2nd of April, I'm teaching a webinar about the difference between signs and houses, which I think is important.
Oh, so important.
Yeah. Okay, great. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Kira, so much. This was amazing.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I love your vibrant energy. Now I feel like I could go for a run. You know, I feel like, yes.
It's so funny that it's your morning, too. Yeah. We introduced your morning. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. I'm the founder, Tony Howard. Head over to astrologyuniversity.com, where you can find webinars and courses to help deepen your study of astrology. Study with some of the best astrologers in the field and check out our diploma program for those of you interested in working professionally or in developing the skill to analyze charts for yourself, your friends, and family. Hope to see you in class soon. And until then, take good care.